is coming up and a special guest next time. But I want to hit this report. The full report's like 13 minutes long, so I can't get to it all. But I'm going to briefly talk about it, play part of it here live on air. But we'll post the whole thing to X and Rumble and wherever else we're allowed to be. We're banned everywhere else. Of good old Salty Cracker doing an analysis of apps. And we're not singling out McDonald's, though it's a terrible Bill Gates-controlled company, about how they keep dossiers and everybody. This is far worse than Flock. Not taking away from Flock, but just be aware of all this data you think you're giving away to get a discount. Really, it's about control being sold to everybody. Here's a breakdown of McDonald's. Just one example, built a 515-page consumer dossier on just one of its customers. You could ask them for it. They'll give you their dossier on you, but imagine what they're holding back. Here it is.
Well, this is a little creepy. McDonald's is keeping up to 1,000 pages of secret information on every one of its customers. A new article came out. One particular customer did the legwork to do a Freedom of Information Act request, and we're going to go over the kind of information that McDonald's is actually keeping on its customers. But these files are probably thicker than what the FBI has on most people, or the NSA. One customer had a 515-page dossier on him. Imagine if you're, you know, a little bit older. How much of this information that they're keeping is legal to be storing? What happens when the data breach happens like it always does? This is actually really creepy, and it's a good reminder to be careful, you know, with all these apps. You know, all these apps that everybody's forcing you to use. You might save a dollar on some French fries, but they're making millions selling your information. And, well, quite honestly, probably this is the gateway to surge pricing and individual customer-based pricing. All this kind of stuff. McDonald's built a 515-page dossier on me, and it says I will never stop eating there. I requested a copy of my data from the McDonald's loyalty program and received an extensive personalized report that algorithmically predicts my next purchase. I mean, this is actually crazy. I mean, I knew, like most people kind of know that these apps collect information on you, but the amount of information that they're collecting is, and what they're collecting is bizarre. When I first downloaded the McDonald's app years ago, I signed up for its loyalty program, hoping to get better deals. Why not some cheap French fries? While I understand that this would entail some type of data tracking, I had no grasp of just how much information would be used to algorithmically predict my next purchase. As a California resident, I have the legal right to access the data a company stores about me, so I decided to request that information from McDonald's to better understand what one of the major fast food companies is collecting about its customers. A few days after I visited the McDonald's Privacy Rights Center and requested access, I received 515 pages in my inbox with an iconic golden arches stamped across the top. When customers sign up for loyalty programs, that's why this is, you know, normally it's like, oh, it's McDonald's, it's whatever, but this is all of them, just so you know, these loyalty programs. They're not just tracking your purchases. You wait till you see all the kind of stuff. When customers sign up for loyalty programs, like the one offered on the McDonald's app, they might not fully realize the extent of which their data is being aggregated and used in predictive models. Also, of course, probably being sold. McDonald's secret sauce is really commercial surveillance, says Jeff Chester, executive director at the Center for Digital Democracy, a group that advocates for customer protections. Privacy experts I spoke with said this level of detail is invasive, but it's fairly standard for how every large company in the United States runs their loyalty program. So be thinking about that next time you sign up to save $2. This report contains specific pieces of personal information about you that were identified by searching McDonald's system, which contains information about our customers. Read the report intro, or rather report intro. It was a lengthy and difficult to parse, so I used a generative AI tool to extract key information before I verifying details.
All right, let's stop there. I'll put the full report up on X. Be sure and follow Salty Cracker. Because we disagree on the war, but he's still a great guy. We're not in a cult. But these apps can even listen to you, watch you. I'm not saying the McDonald's app, but a lot of them. They're a doorway into everything. That's how you're being tracked. All this stuff you think is innocuous is not innocuous. Because you're predatory companies that want total control that are under the ESG system of BlackRock, the corporate global governance system. We'll be back on the other side with a whole bunch of insane news, including new Chinese.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigly has launched an online pharmacy
1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
The last beacon of truth in a world of deception. It's Alex Jones.
China's 0.3-gram robotic mosquito drone stuns the world in a video. Researchers at China's National University of Defense Technology created a 0.3-gram device with about 1 to 2 centimeters long, with a leaf-shaped wings flapping hundreds of times per second for stealthy reconnaissance on battlefields. Demonstrated on state TV, it blends proportion sensors and controls into an insect-sized body, though limited by short battery life and lab conditions. Reactions mix awe with the miniaturization, with jokes about mosquito nets and concerns over spy potential, echoing global race in microrobotics like Harvard's RoboBee. I remember about 15 years ago, it was in the Washington Post, that protesters in D.C. saw these dragonflies flying around, and one of them broke and fell, and it was a machine. So a lot of what the U.S. has and the West has is secret, but that shows how runaway train all of this is and just how crazy it's really gotten. Well, Jason Burmes is hosting the rest of the fourth hour. He takes over. Then we have Harrison Smith coming in, loaded for bear. Be sure and join us. But remember, things are going to just get crazier from here on out. But know that we'll report the best information we have. We'll be as accurate as we can. We're not perfect, but you'll get the truth from us. And I want to thank you all for your word of mouth and support. The bad guys want us off the air. So please share the live feeds at Real Auctions on X right now and on rumble.com/AlexJonesShowLive, The Alex Jones Show Live, and AlexJonesLive.com is the main news site, where you can find the feeds, the articles, the reports, the boil downs of the daily show. So you can just watch the particular subjects you want to see at AlexJonesLive.com. And we got some big announcements in the next few weeks, very soon, of victories we're having, but I'll leave it at that. But for now, my old friend of 20 plus years, Jason Burmes, takes over. Jason.
Thank you so much, Alex. And it's funny because I was going to lead with this story, with the McDonald's built a 515-page dossier, but look at it. Really through a lens that you and I looked at it a decade ago, the Selfish Ledger by Google. All of this, this track, trace, database, and now movement into an agentic AI society has not only been planned, but in their own internal documents told, and many of those things actually leak out. So you look at the McDonald's app, and just like Jeremy from The Quartering was talking about, you think you're going to save some money, but then you find out that it's building this algorithm on your movement, your spending habits. They've been using things. You know, Alex was one of the first people to talk about the microphones in the digital television boxes, but it's gone so much further than that, because every single gaming machine you have, every single smart TV speaker, I mean, go down the line, as well as the magic box that you carry, or even the watch you might be wearing, that has audio content recognition. If it has a camera on it, it also has video content recognition. And all of that stuff is stored somewhere on your profile in multiple areas. We're not talking about a government dossier per se. It's all these little private groups that have that information, but then can be accessed at any time by a government entity or one of their private contractors. Okay. And to really illustrate how dark and dystopic the vision of this data collection is, I do want to take it back.
Oh, let me guess. You want to bring us the Total Information Awareness Network and Admiral Poindexter.
Well, first of all, that's even further back, right? That's Alex Jones' Road to Tyranny pre-2001.
So let me just correct myself, because I don't know why I always call him Salty Cracker. I've known the guy for years. He's the Quartering, something that's Salty Cracker. I watch the show all the time. I can't get all the handles straight. But absolutely, the government said, since we can't get around Congress not letting us surveil, we'll have private corporations do it. People opt in. But then we in agreements will access it all in live time. That's what we're dealing with, the Total Information Awareness Network. Continue. I just wanted to correct me calling the Quartering Salty Cracker, whoever that is.
You got it, Alex. And listen, people need to understand, you know, that Total Information Awareness Network was simply rebranded. And when you look at the logo on it, it's this globe with an all-seeing eye. It's kind of like a three-dimensional $1 bill, just as creepy and outward as it gets. But the truth of the matter is, what was that? That was a DARPA program. And as we talked about yesterday with the DOE, this new Genesis mission.
Well, that DARPA program took over. I mean, it set up modern Google, Palantir, everything.
And that's exactly where I was going. You know, we showed you through the National Library Initiative and the NFS, the National Foundation of Science, they brought in Larry Page and Sergey Brin in a program they actually started in the 80s to digitize all information, Alex. And they essentially gave them the code for their algorithm, their search engine. And not only was it started by a NASA DARPA partnership, but just as you know, it was funded through the Central Intelligence Agency and InQtel. And it's now a decade ago that this video, the selfish ledger, I mean, even when the mainstream got a hold of this, what are the headlines? A creepy vision of how data could be used to direct human decision making. And unfortunately, it's not could be. It has been. It is doing right now. And the next step in that is try to couple you with this new agentic AI system to get you to interface more and more with something that is not human. And the Black Mirror aspect is actually something that Jay Dyer and I discussed. It's very seductive in the sense that if you actually know what you're talking about, and even when it lies to you, right? Oh, it tells you how smart you are and how you're right. It's catering to your personality. I think that's why I felt so creeped out by the movie Her, that is continue to become more and more a reality. But let's get to Google's reality. Let's play the selfish ledger video to kick this thing off, because this is actually a very long video. I'll probably be stopping it in the middle to make commentary, because it really does show you these people are social Darwinists. Okay, they don't believe in God at all. And they're talking about this collective direction of society through mass surveillance. So here it is, without further ado, the selfish ledger.
This man is Jean-Baptiste Pierre Antoine de Monet, Chevalier de Lamarck. In 1809, 50 years before Darwin published The Origin of the Species, he wrote what is widely recognized as the first comprehensive theory of evolution. His book, The Philosophie Zoologique, introduced the notion of an internal code within every living thing, which, when passed down through successive generations, defined the physiological characteristics of a species. At the center of Lamarck's theory laid what he called the adaptive force. He believed that the experiences of an organism during its life modified this internal code, and upon reproduction, this modified version was passed down to its young. Whilst not biologically accurate, and ultimately superseded by Darwin's theory of natural selection, the epigenetic theories put forward by him are beginning to find new homes in unexpected places. When we use contemporary technology, a trail of information is created in the form of data. When analyzed, it describes our actions, decisions, preferences, movement, and relationships. This codified version of who we are becomes ever more complex, developing, changing, and deforming based on our actions. In this regard, this ledger of our data may be considered a Lamarckian epigenome.
And let me just stop it right there. Now, first and foremost, in these first, like, it's not even 2 minutes, they're pushing Darwinism. And again, this predator class are all about social Darwinism to ultimately to try to bring in transhumanism. I mean, us as a subspecies, if they even allow us to live, okay, and them as gods on this planet. Now, think about how creepy it is that they take this transition from this kind of animal genetic data and behavior into what? A girl on her magic box, totally mesmerized by it. Totally mesmerized by it. I mean, how accurate actually is that? And then it goes through all these data patterns that they're harnessing literally from the device she's on, amongst other things. Okay? And they're going to set it up on how they're going to be the good guys. Meanwhile, it's just like a total dystopia. This isn't something they put out to the public. This was something internally for the great folks at Google, the Sergey Brins, the Larry Pages. So let's keep going on this selfish ledger, because it basically tells you that human beings are bad. And these people with the information, they're going to make everything good again.
Constantly evolving representation of who we are. This is Bill Hamilton, one of the most significant evolutionary theorists of the 20th century. His work studying the social structures of ants, bees, and wasps had a profound effect on our understanding of the role of genes in social behaviors such as altruism. He believed, and went on to prove, that the driving force behind evolution was not the individual, but the gene. He stated that the ultimate criterion which determines whether a gene will spread is not whether the behavior is to the benefit of the behavior, but whether it is to the benefit of the gene. In the mid-1970s...
See, I just want to put it again. They're telling you that we're all selfish and that it's embedded in us genetically. And then Dawkins, who's like one of the worst. And look, anybody that knows me, I'm not sitting here trying to project religion on anybody. But you notice they also were against the individual there. And there's this mass movement against rugged individualism, because that's where the true power lies, within the self. Yes, you want to communicate to others. You want to work with others. You want to love others. Absolutely. And that's powerful. But there is nothing more powerful than that independence, okay, that breaks free from the norm and creates things. Let's get into Dawkins here and this selfish ledger.
The British evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins built on the work of Hamilton and others to popularize the concept of the selfish gene. In his book of the same name, he introduced the notion of a gene which, whilst devoid of any motives or will, could be metaphorically and pedagogically described as if it were. In this model, the individual organism is a transient carrier, a survival machine for the gene. User-centered design principles have dominated the world of computing for many decades, but what if we looked at things a little differently? What if the ledger could be given a volition or purpose rather than simply acting as an historical reference? What if we focused on creating a richer ledger by introducing more sources of information? What if we thought of ourselves not as the owners of this information, but as custodians, transient carriers, or caretakers?
So let's just stop it right there. You know, they're advocating right there for mass surveillance of everything and acting like they're going to be benevolent, right? And that they're carriers of this information. Now, as I said yesterday on the program, you know, that initial National Library Initiative, when Google was around and, you know, about a decade ago, it started to change. but still about a decade ago, 2017, if I looked up something that was in a big newspaper, I could find an actual scan of that newspaper, right? And look, that is beneficial. I've always talked about you got to use the tools that are in front of you, right? I mean, yes, is Google a DARPA-driven technopoly? Absolutely. I talk about it all the time. I mean, does it work hand in hand with the National Security Council? Yes. Is Eric Schmidt that guy? You know, and Alphabet as the big company around it? And even though that Schmidt's kind of on the outs with Google, supposedly, you know, he's still Bilderberg. He's still working with the Defense Department, all those things, right? So you look at this, and it's talking about this ledger. And at the same time right now, you can't find those articles anymore. You can't find scans, searchable scans of real newspapers. Instead, you have these AI companies that aren't acting as custodians that are going to share it. They're going to hoard the real information. They're buying up rare books as we speak, buying up rare books, taking in that data for themselves, because AI is not artificial intelligence. It is programmed algorithmic search engines, essentially. And they want the real information for them. And we don't get it. We get the great narrative and this push towards globalism and collectivism. This is all collectivism right here. Let's continue.
Initially, the notion of a goal-oriented ledger may be user-driven. As an organization, Google would be responsible for offering suitable targets for a user's ledger. Whilst the notion of a global good is problematic, topics would likely focus on health or environmental impact to reflect Google's values as an organization.
And just to, I can't help but stop it. You know, Alex is talking about the ESG system. They're going to protect the environment. They're worried about your health. We saw how that played out with COVID-1984, right? And Google's, again, McDonald's has 515-page dossiers on Big Mac users. Okay? It's Google, it's Apple, it's Amazon. Go down the line. It's Microsoft. All of them. And the values that they, listen, it's the appearance of benevolence. You know, you look at this, and Google itself used to have on their wall, again, created by the good people at DARPA and NASA. I know. It's out there. It's public knowledge. It used to say, don't be evil. And they're talking about a Google global good. I mean, some people don't even know that they used to have the logo, don't be evil. They took it off the wall and stopped using. I mean, is that a good sign when you're a company and you say, don't be evil, and then you take it off the wall and a bunch of programmers walk out because they don't want to program death drones? You know, that's just one small instance of people saying, you know what, I've had enough with this company. Okay, so let's get back to the selfish ledger. Again, a video now a decade ago that really speaks to the dystopia, not that they want to build, that we're actually currently living in. Okay?
Once the user selects a volition for their ledger, every interaction may be compared to a series of parallel options. If one of these options allows the ledger to move closer to its goal, it will be offered up to the user. Over time, by selecting these options, the user's behavior may be modified, and the ledger moves closer to its target.
I mean, a decade ago, no one stopped these people when they're talking about modifying your behavior through the algorithms they create. They're not shy about it.
As this line of thinking accelerates and the notion of a goal-driven ledger becomes more palatable, suggestions may be converted not by the user, but by the ledger itself. In this case, the ledger is missing a key data source, which it requires in order to better understand this user. In order to plug the gap in its knowledge, the ledger begins searching for a device which delivers the required data when used. From this list, the ledger begins sorting the options most likely to appeal to the user in question. In situations where no suitable product is found, the ledger may investigate a bespoke solution. By analyzing historical data, it is increasingly possible to discern qualitative information such as taste and aesthetic sensibility, which may be used in the creation of a design proposal.
A design proposal. I mean, is anybody paying attention right here? Because all this is happening and has been happening for years. It talks about going to outside sources of data to try to change your behavior. All right. And that's why this agentic AI is so scary. That's why the flock cameras, which if we have time, we're going to get into at the end of this as well. It's not just flock. You see, they take flock out, for instance, and then, you know, they just have a replacement system. Months after Syracuse ditched flocks, critics say the new Axon systems are in place. And guess what? They solved nothing. Nothing. These things are working in conjunction with one another. And the reason that flock is so scary is because it's openly data mining. It also hooks to your Bluetooth. It's outside of just license plate scanners, but it's the technology itself. You know, it's Axon, it's Carbine, Palantir, all of those things. And here's the thing, you knock one of them down, like five more are ready to pop right back up. So this is telling you about the algorithmic manipulation that they were openly instituting a decade ago and successfully instituted. The next step is the agentic AI. But it's okay because it's for the Google-driven good.
With the advent of technologies such as CNC milling and the emergent possibilities of 3D printing, a custom object may be created to trigger this user's interest. In this way, the ledger is able to plug gaps in its knowledge and refine its model of human behavior. User data has the capability to survive beyond the limits of our biological selves, in much the same way as genetic code is released and propagated in nature. By considering this data through a Lamarckian lens, the codified experiences within the ledger become an accumulation of behavioral knowledge throughout the life of an individual. By thinking of user data as multi-generational, it becomes possible for emerging users to benefit from the preceding generation's behaviors and decisions. As new users enter an ecosystem, they begin to create their own trail of data. By comparing this emergent ledger with the mass of historical user data, it becomes possible to make increasingly accurate predictions about decisions and future behaviors. As cycles of collection and comparison extend, it may be possible to develop a species-level understanding of complex issues such as depression, health, and poverty.
Let me stop it there. Got about a minute till break. So once again, through this lens of benevolence, let us have all of your information. Let us store all this information. We're going to cure depression. Well, in my generation, they continually told me that we were going to solve cancer. Not it was going to get worse and worse and worse and continue to explode. You know, what is the truth? The truth is they want to institute these systems for command and control of a population that they want to take on a transhumanist journey. And I'm not down with it. And that transhumanist journey is massive oppression and slavery for the vast majority of us. And Alex Jones was one of the first people talking about it on a large scale level. So go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Get the hats, get the shirts. I'm wearing an old school one right now, the old Arnold Obey, and we'll be back after this.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Where, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you know, getmasterpiece.com. The masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the human, with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission, you got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key to sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff. It doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah, yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Planet Earth, filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The AlexJonesStore.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
And we are back. This is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am your guest host, Jason Burmis, and we're going to get back to the Selfish Ledger. And we're probably going to pull it back a few seconds because, again, they're talking about not, you notice they didn't say the manipulation of the population, right? They said species, our species, because they are actively trying to alter that species, our very humanity. That's why this is so important. You know, that, like, I used to be, you know, when I got involved in this game 20 plus years ago and 9/11 was that vehicle and I was in my, you know, early to mid 20s, I really believed we were going to be able to get our constitutional republic back. We were going to have hearings and war crimes. We're going to be exposed of this predator class, of this quote unquote elite who are anything but. And now I'm just telling people, stay human. Because there is so much coming at us right now on a not just like spiritual level, like being encompassed in, on a biological level as well. So listen, if you like what I do, if you're interested maybe in that Genesis mission that I was talking about yesterday and you missed the segment, I'm actually going to be premiering it on my YouTube after this. And you can catch it, of course, anytime, youtube.com/InfoWarrior, or also give me a follow on X and I post all that stuff there. So let's do that. Let's take it back just a little bit where they're talking about global surveillance of everything through all sorts of sensors and different methods, right? Generationally, to literally alter the species. This is all about, they're not shy about it. This is about behavioral conditioning and beyond. So let's wrap, there's like 2 or 3 minutes left in the selfish ledger by Google in 2016.
As cycles of collection and comparison extend, it may be possible to develop a species-level understanding of complex issues such as depression, health, and poverty. Our ability to interpret user data, combined with the exponential growth in sensor-enabled objects, will result in an increasingly detailed account of who we are as people. As these streams of information are brought together, the effect is multiplied. New patterns become apparent and new predictions become possible.
So just so people know, it says behavioral sequencing.
Since the 1970s, huge efforts have been made in sequencing the human genome. Today, after many years of research and billions of data points, that sequence is known. By adopting a similar perspective with user data, we may begin to better understand its role. Just as the examination of protein structures paved the way to genetic sequencing, the mass multi-generational examination of actions and results could introduce a model of behavioral sequencing. As gene sequencing yields a comprehensive map of human biology, researchers are increasingly able to target parts of the sequence and modify them in order to achieve a desired result.
And let me just stop.
As patterns begin to emerge in the behavior.
Because now they're talking about patenting these behavioral methodologies and drugs, right? And they've already used, what do you think MKUltra on a large scale was really about? I mean, they worked hand in hand with Big Pharma. Do you think these SSRIs are a mistake? Seriously, when you look at these drugs and the behaviors, I found this video of this Asian scientist who just laid out the transhumanist agenda, I think in like, it's either the early 80s or maybe late 80s. It was wild. I did a full watch along with that. People found it hard that they didn't have subtitles for the guy, but it's also a must watch. This is Google telling you about behavioral methodologies. And let me say this. Look, they tried this during COVID, and obviously they censored so many people on YouTube. But how'd that work out for you, Susan Wojcicki? And I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but she censored a bunch of people during the COVID 1984 nightmare and then died of fast-acting cancer. Okay? I'm just going to leave it at that. Maybe you want to share information. Maybe you want to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get the Menbenzidol and find out what is up with this parasitic stuff. I mean, look up Fenbenzidol. Look up the Joe Tippins protocol. Just saying, those are things to look into. But they're not information that the good people at Google want to put to the forefront. So who's really being selfish here, Google? Is it the species? Are we the selfish ones?
Your sequences, they too may be targeted. The ledger could be given a focus, shifting it from a system which not only tracks our behavior, but offers direction towards a desired result. We are at the very beginning of our journey of understanding in the field of user data. By applying our knowledge of epigenetics, inheritance, and memetics to this field, we may be able to make mental leaps in our understanding, which could offer benefits to this generation, to future generations, and the species as a whole.
So again, they're the good guys, and they just used a word there. Many people are not familiar with memetics, okay? And I talk about biomemetics specifically, because it is the very definition of mimicking things. And that's all this artificial intelligence is. It's mimicking other people's work. It's mimicking other people's writing, drawings, film work. It's never going to be the real thing, but institutions like Google and the transhumanists behind it, they want to give you this idea that AI is going to become conscious, that you're going to have a digital twin, that you can upload your consciousness. No, none of that is real. No, absolutely none of it. It's a seduction of humanity to think that those things are they're not real. Okay, so I want to get into the surveillance aspects and what's happening in actuality now with these flock cameras. Because look, it's not just about track trace database. And kind of at the end when they talked about behavioral sequencing and genetics, it's not just the Internet of Things, it's the Internet of Bodies. For instance, you know, I was just talking about those medications, right? Well, they have medications right now with Bluetooth sensors in them. Anybody can go look it up. I think Abilify is one of them. Okay. You have to take the little druggie, and that way, once it's digested, your doctor knows you took the medication, so you're going to behave. Hey, that anybody would do that to themselves is totally and completely crazy. But let's get into these new levels of surveillance, agentic AI, and then I want to tell a little story again about old school InfoWars and why it is really, really important to this day. I mean, why it has been a trailblazer, a leader, and it has helped to try to set policy in the right direction. So I showed that article out of Syracuse, but they're not the only ones. So these are the Axon cameras. And believe me, if people complain about the Axon cameras, they're going for the next level. I'm not saying we shouldn't fight. We need to continue to fight. Oh, that's not what I wanted to go to. Sorry about that. This right here, this story. A few days ago, I believe this woman was boxed in, okay, after being pulled over the second time. I believe it was the second time they went to this. Yeah. The flock cameras thought her car was that of, you know, a suspected killer. Wasn't. And guess what? I mean, they almost killed this woman. And it's not an isolated incident. You are now guilty until proven innocent with this technology. And I just want to show this video, which is a microcosm for that and why these flock cameras, I mean, on every level, you know, we're going to talk about Glenn Jacobs, the mayor of Knox, Tennessee, who used to be Kane the Wrestler in a moment. But I just want to give one small example here, on why these things are totally crazy to allow to be instituted.
We have cameras.
It was a false allegation beginning at the door of Chrisanna Elser in September. Sergeant Jamie Milliman with the Columbine Valley Police Department told her flock license plate reader cameras placed her at the scene of a package theft and that she was being sighted.
Oh, no, it is.
Okay, I have you on camera.
Okay.
You taking a package and walking away.
After Elser proved her innocence with her own video from her Rivian vehicle and footage from her Taylor near the scene of the crime, Sergeant Milliman's wrongful allegation and this video went viral.
Can't get a breath of fresh air in or out without us knowing.
We've learned Milliman was fired as a Jefferson County Sheriff's deputy in 2013 for failing to follow through with police work. A letter we obtained says he failed to take reports from citizens, failed to Mirandize a juvenile suspect, and failed to complete other paperwork. We told.
And by the way, you know, she proved her innocence. They didn't even want to look. I mean, the original video is even crazier. Like they show you the video of the person stealing the package. They show you the still shot supposedly of her carton. It's not even her. And he just keeps telling, well, I know it's you. He's arguing with her and the husband. And look, unfortunately on this one, the solution, I mean, I don't know about this guy. He could be terrible on law enforcement. People are people. You know, not everybody's great. But this tool, it needs to be stopped. Absolutely.
Elser about what we found in Milliman's past.
It comes as no surprise with the way he handled following procedures and processes for this particular incident as well. I mean, the flock is a very powerful tool.
I'm not making this up.
Eventually, Milliman was hired in Columbine Valley, which has been receiving significant criticism in the wake of Elser's story. This letter obtained by Nine News shows Milliman is now being disciplined for his rude behavior, dismissive attitude, and unwillingness to de-escalate.
Hey, listen, again, that's a microcosm. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people that get into law enforcement are on power trips. And that's not everybody. There are good people in every level of law enforcement. There's good people in the intelligence agencies. But at the end of the day, the way that case was handled was totally insane. She was totally innocent, and they just don't care. So I got this, 1.5 minute clip of Glenn Jacobs, who just went on Fox News. I was thinking about playing the Fox News clip. I'm not sure we're going to get to it. What was very good about the Fox News clip is that, you know, they tried to downplay it about, oh, exes spying on their girlfriends or their wives or, you know, that type of thing as being bad. But Glenn Jacobs just said, hey, what if Anthony Fauci had the power of these cameras and these flock systems during COVID? You already had so many. You walked into a certain business. You didn't have the mask on. Get out. They wanted to see your identification for the essential workers and everybody that took the hate and lie shots. I mean, it would only be worse with this type of technology. But this is like a 1.5 minute breakdown by Glenn Jacobs. And Glenn Jacobs, while he was still wrestling 16 plus years ago, somewhere in like, I don't know, it was between 2009 and 10, when I was working at InfoWars and I had the show The InfoWarrior and MySpace was a thing. He actually contacted me on MySpace. So Glenn Jacobs was an InfoWars listener all those years ago, decided to step up to the plate, get involved in politics. And quite frankly, if we're talking about somebody in 2028, you know, Glenn Jacobs is at like the top of my list for somebody that should run for national politics. I tried to get him on the show. He did not want to come on there. He's like, what do you want to talk about? And I'm like, well, we'll talk about anything you want. We'll talk about the state. Didn't want to come on then. Maybe Alex should reach out to Glenn Jacobs now because he's spot on when it comes to this technology.
These flock cameras are all the rage across the country. The danger with flock cameras is they're sold as license plate readers. We've had those for a long time. License plate reader, your car drives by. If it has a certain license plate number, stolen car, looking for a murderer, Amber Alert, it flags it. Hit, police know the car, pass that camera. Okay, they go look for it. Flock cameras do really the opposite. They collect every license plate. They make a digital fingerprint of your car. Make, model, color, roof rack, bumper stickers. And the real danger is this. When they're deployed in large numbers, they essentially create a warrantless mass surveillance system because they can track your movements. What's interesting is the Supreme Court has already ruled against this sort of thing. 2018, there was a case reached the Supreme Court, Carpenter versus the United States, in which the FBI had been warrantlessly collecting historic cell phone location data about this Carpenter guy. And the court said, you have to have a warrant to do that. Flock cameras are doing that, but they're doing that literally on steroids. They are a massive threat to our liberty, and it is just not compatible with the values of Americans.
No, it's not. And it's not compatible with the values of any type of free society. Forget about Americans. It's not compatible with human autonomy. Full stop. I want to kind of get into one more AI aspect, okay? Because I see a lot of these stories, and this is actually another Wired story, and I want to throw caution to the wind. Rogue AI agents aren't evil. They're just eager to please. Now, I read this thing, and, you know, they talk about the dangers of evil AI agentic agents in the hands of, you know, bad actors. So that, as far as I'm concerned, ChatGPT, Grok, Gemini, they are the bad actors. I mean, they all gatekeep at certain levels on certain subjects. I will say begrudgingly, because, you know, I don't believe that X is a free speech platform. And, you know, I'm very skeptical of Elon Musk. Grok does seem to be at least the best one in the United States. I haven't tried DeepSeek and these other models, et cetera. And unfortunately, I have to use them because, you know, the search engines aren't what they used to be, because they're serving you up an agenda just like they said they would in the selfish ledger, right? So you have to be really crafty and ask the right kind of questions to get the right kind of source material so you can even do the right kind of searches to try to get there. Now, this article gets into the idea that AI is breaking out of their you know, confinement systems. That's not real. Okay, and they kind of allude to it. I think it's like kind of alluded to right in the very beginning, where they talk of how the algorithms follow our every command. All right, so we're programming them. If you want an AI that can't break out of a system, it's very simple to do. You just make sure that system that's running it is not connected to the internet or anything else. It is an what is known as an enclosed system. And by the way, if you don't think our governments, other governments, DARPA, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, go down the list, have been utilizing these technologies, Google in particular with NASA, because they've been on this quantum computing slash artificial intelligence partnership now for over a decade. I could play that. I played it on this show before in the fourth hour, where, again, they're promoting things like the multiverse, this idea that, again, you don't have any autonomy. You're not special. You're not an individual. And that just seems to be the agenda all the way down. So we got about 6.5 minutes left. I wanted to do a little Epstein, okay, because there are a lot of things that have been coming out on the Epstein case, and I don't think I'm going to have the time to play it. But Newsmax actually went out to Zorro Ranch. So they went out to Zorro Ranch, and they did this piece with the guy who now owns it. They've assured everybody. They show you even the blueprints, some of the blueprints of the estate. There are no underground tunnels. Everything's kosher here. The FBI and the DOJ have been out there. Meanwhile, there continues to be legal battles with the Department of Justice out of New Mexico over the ranch. But you can't make this up. Let's see if we get just a shot of this guy right here. Where is he? I can't believe. Come on. Give me a shot of the guy who actually lives here with the cowboy hat. There he is. The rich family. He says they had a 3-day exorcism at the house. You can go watch this yourself. If we had the time, I just want to get to some other bullet point stories. 3-day exorcism at Epstein's Zorro Ranch. And by the way, they're converting Zorro Ranch and its estate. Let's see if we can get this guy right here into a Christian encampment. You can't make it up. The old Epstein Ranch is going to be a Christian camp. So, getting into Epstein, this guy right here, Yuval Aviv. He went on the Danny Jones podcast. You can see that over there. It's like almost 4 hours long. I will say this. It is riveting. I only watched like the first 3 hours and change. I think I got like 40 minutes left in it. He makes some pretty incredible claims. And let me say this. I don't necessarily buy into what a admitted Israeli Mossad assassin says. But this is actually the guy, he's got a bunch of books that they based Munich on, which was the Steven Spielberg movie about the assassins that went after the people that killed the Israeli athletes at the games, okay? The Olympic Games in Munich. So he says things like this. He investigated Robert Maxwell's death, which seems to be an obvious murder, on behalf of Ghislaine Maxwell herself. He believes that Maxwell was big into global money laundering, and so was Epstein, and that it was generationally passed down. I do agree with him on this one. He says that he is sure that Epstein is dead and was killed in prison. It was not a suicide. He also said he actually knows the person that did it, believe it or not. I mean, these should be pretty big headlines. That isn't even scratching the surface of this interview with this, and he's not just like works for the Mossad, done work for the FBI, done all sorts of private contracting work. Apparently that's how Maxwell found him, as he was like at some auction house front. Some people have called him a complete and total con man. But then again, you know, this movie was made. He's written all these books. He does seem to know all these people. He has a powerful investigative private organization right now. So, and by the way, he also said, yes, Epstein was first blackmailing people for himself, but the Mossad got a whiff of it and got everything. He said, you know, not only were the houses, but the planes all were rigged up with cameras. And probably agree with him on that. Well, let's hit some other bullet points in these last 2 minutes on the Epstein stories. So Jess Staley, okay, Barclays, I mean, again, another guy at the hip of Epstein. Epstein sent him girls. The idea that Epstein wasn't trafficking in at least women, we don't know about underage girls specifically with Staley, but he sure liked them in the Snow White costumes, if you believe the documents out there. Remember, we still haven't gotten a multitude of those documents. Forget about the actual photographs and videos. And by the way, that Mossad assassin says, oh, they're going to come out eventually. Again, I don't necessarily believe him. He also praised shadow government members such as Dick Cheney and George Bush Sr. Just want to put that out there. So, yeah, they actually interviewed Staley and asked him about, you know, Epstein trafficking girls to him. All right. They also recently interviewed Leslie Groff, where we all know Ghislaine Maxwell's name because she's in prison. But read the documents. This woman is just as guilty, if not more, and maybe even spent more time as an assistant to Epstein. And that's just scratching the surface. There are other people that need to be questioned, just like Leslie Groff, who was softballed, of course. People like Sarah Kalin, Adriana Ross. Okay, those people also need to be questioned. Nadia Marcinko, a.k.a. Marcinkova. If you don't know those names, you should. Folks, that is going to just about do it for this fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Please spread this information. Please check out the Genesis Mission. Go show people the Selfish Ledger. Explain to them the origins of Google and support this broadcast through the AlexJonesStore.com. Like I said, I'm rocking the old school t-shirt, the Arnold Obey. I wish they sold this one. They could bring it back. Arnold said, screw your freedoms during COVID-1984. Get the supplements. And as always, it is not about left or right. Always about right and wrong. I love you guys. We'll see you on the flip side.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if. It's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.